Do you think the problems we face today are unique to our time, or just the culmination or the expected outcome of how we've lived the past 60 years?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Tuesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. We have a lot of ground to cover on today's program, several topics that I want to get to. And somewhere on the program today, I'm going to share some of the things that my wife and I have been doing over the past several days to give you kind of an update. It has been a uniquely busy and even sad time. And in some ways, there's some rejoicing to be found as well. But I want to get to the theme I'm starting with. Do you believe where we are today, here in the United States or in Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, all of Europe, do you believe for one moment this is all unique to our time and everything that's going wrong just happened in the last, handful of years, maybe 5, 10, maybe 20? It's been going on a lot longer. And I was thinking the other day about back in my radio career, and this is what got me thinking. The music is often reflective of the times. If you go back to the 1930s, during the time of the Depression in the United States, songs were trying to be encouraging. During the 1940s, once again, songs trying to be encouraging, talking about love, talking about our shared values, and trying to find happiness in turbulent times of war, and prior to that, the Depression. The 1950s, the music tries to be more lighthearted. But something happens beginning in the middle 1960s. There's a change, not in all the music, but in a significant amount of the music out there. We start getting songs like Eve of Destruction, protest songs, Vietnam. It's a tipping point. I really believe that globalists have been around since the very beginning of civilization, those that wanted to run everybody and everything. The Bible teaches that. That's pretty obvious. There are some very demonically possessed and very evil-hearted people out there. There always have and always will be. But today, with technology and the weapons of war that we have and the ability of propaganda at a scale unimaginable even 20 years ago with social media and the internet, this process of our decline is speeding up. The 1960s, turbulent. 1970s, we try to recover a little bit when the Vietnam War kind of comes to a crashing end in 1975. Then we begin to challenge even more so than Woodstock did the sexual mores of our society, how we live. Prior to 1965 in the United States, the majority of children, the vast majority, not a small majority, the vast majority of children lived in a two-parent home, and most on a one-parent income. And for the most part, many live fairly well. Starting in 1965, the federal government started to encourage the destruction of the family in what was called the Great Society, especially within minority communities. Incentives not to be married, incentives to take money from the government, incentives, more incentives to do things that are basically, according to the Bible, not what you're supposed to be doing. This is the legacy of Lyndon Johnson. If you go back to the earlier part of the 20th century, you have another president with these great progressive ideas, Woodrow Wilson, who decided private bankers should run the American currency and gave us the Federal Reserve. Thought it would be a great idea, just a wonderful idea to have an income tax so they could decide, and they lied how to get it. And if you've never listened to this program before, real quick, 45-second instruction on the federal income tax. It was sold to the American people by Woodrow Wilson as a 1% tax on incomes on any money you make over $100,000, okay? Just a little 1% tax on those wealthy, wealthy Rockefellers and you know, all the big bankers, just on them, 1% on any income you make over $100,000. Well, the average American who made $100,000, that'd be like making millions of dollars a year now. So the average American, the average sodbuster out in the country, the average guy working in a factory, whatever it was, in the early 1900s, it wouldn't affect them. So yeah, why not? Those rich are not going to miss those few little dollars that they're taking away, that 1%. You know, 1%. And you have to make, it's the dollars over $100,000. The first $100,000 is exempt. That was a big lie. And once they made it a constitutional amendment, the 16th Amendment, and pushed it through, there was nothing in that amendment that would limit the amount of taxes that the federal government could levy on your income. They could literally, by law, take 100% of your income if they so desired. There's nothing to stop them constitutionally. I know there's some that begin to wonder, was it properly ratified? And that's another discussion for some other time. But suddenly they had control of your money. And you had bankers in control of the government's ability to print money. In other words, anytime the government needed money, they borrowed it from the Federal Reserve, and you and I found the value of our money going down. That's how it's been since the early 1900s. And then the idea of directly electing senators. Instead of what had been intended by the Founding Fathers in the Constitution, that senators be appointed, not elected, appointed by the state legislatures. The entire idea of having the Senate was a firewall to protect the individual states from a massive, overbearing federal government. And the House of Representatives would reach down to the more local level. And so this wonderful balance of power was the idea. Oh, somebody may be persuaded to do something at the federal level, but the states would say this is not a good idea. The Senate would veto it, the Senate would stop it, and it would never become law. But see, that got eliminated, and all of a sudden, the wealthy Uber class could be buying senators from other states. I mean, hey, you're a senator from Maine, or you're a senator from Oklahoma, or just name a state. Many of those campaigns, the money does not come from within that state. It comes from special interest outside of that state. All of them are like that. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat or independent or socialist, doesn't matter. They're funded generally more from outside of their state than inside. In other words, they don't care about their home state much anymore. They don't need to because their state's not funding them and they don't have to answer the legislatures. And so the firewalls and the protections were off starting in the early 1900s. And very quickly, the federal income tax reached all the way down to virtually every American that worked within a matter of years. The big lie of only incomes over $100,000 became a lie. Everybody was starting to have to file and pay. Then we have the time of war, World War II. We had already gone through World War I, and Americans didn't want any part of another world war. But something really took off. And once again, all these seeds were sowed literally in the 1700s, but nobody would have ever allowed them to become mainstream for hundreds of years. But somewhere, starting in the 1960s, there was a tipping point. And it occurred in my lifetime. And I look back now, and I look at 1963, 1964 as that tipping point, 60 years ago. Things began to change, not dramatically, just gradually. We were asked to accept things gradually, slowly. It didn't really bother us too much. But when you total it all up after 60 years, you get the mess that we have today. I look at the federal government here in the United States, and I've said this 100 times, and I'll probably say it 100 more times. The White House today is an absolute and total freak show. I can't describe it any other way. It's a total freak show. Matter of fact, the White House just announced a new communications director, and the guy's name is Tyler Cherry. And I even have to wonder if that's his real name. He is a radical activist who compares police to nothing but slave patrols and identifies as non-binary. I am looking at his picture, full of tattoos and big earrings, and just there's something, you can see it in his eyes, almost like an emptiness. And he's called for ICE to be abolished. And like I say, he compares police to slave patrols and lynch mobs. And he's all pro-Palestinian on his social media. He began his new role last week after 3 years as the Department of Interior Communications Director. In a statement that he made, White House Senior Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates said, "We are very proud to have Tyler on the team." I look at this guy and I have to wonder, what is the standard to get a job today at the White House in Washington, D.C.? You have to believe in certain things that are an anathema to Scripture, holiness and godliness. You have to believe in everything that God abhors and despises. And if you don't, you're not going to get a job. And you can say, "Well, Bob, that's not true." Yes, it is true. It is totally true. Everybody in leadership at the White House that comes out to talk to you is a liar, is a reprobate, or a fool. And somebody would say, "Well, Bob, are you judging?" No, I'm just telling you from, it comes out, it falls out of their mouth. The lies fall out so easily and so willingly, and they have no conscience to even tell them to stop lying. They are given over to delusion. And then you look at the sexuality issues of all these people. You have to be either gay, or you have to be trans, or you have to be non-binary. You have to believe in all kinds of sexual morals that are abhorrent to Scripture. And most important, you have to believe in Moloch worship, which is abortion. If you don't believe in all this neo-paganism, you're not going to get a job at the White House. Anybody that has Christian or biblical values need not apply. Anybody that is straight and moral with a normal family and goes to church, you're not wanted. Because you want to know something? To the demons that inhabit that White House right now, you're a danger to their existence. And so since the 1960s, we've given up little bits of our integrity and our morality as a nation. I'm not saying the United States was always godly and moral, but at least it wasn't in open warfare to an almighty God, which it is today. At least 60 years ago, the majority of Americans had some kind of faith in something, and they exercised that faith. Many people believed in even a Christian education back then, and there were schools that were pushing Christian education. But your public schools were still a pretty safe place. But not anymore. Public schools 60 years ago would have still had prayer in school in many jurisdictions, even in upstate New York, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, California, Michigan, Alabama, it didn't matter. 1962 changed that with a very, very strange ruling from the Supreme Court, talking about separation of church and state. Yet our entire history prior to that time, especially in the 1700s, 1800s, when people that wrote that Constitution were alive and well and writing, they never saw any issue with any of it. People don't realize that one of the first major expenditures by the Continental Congress was to buy Bibles as textbooks for young children to make sure that God's word was in the hands of those that needed it. That was our federal government. You can't do that today because the Supreme Court decided that everybody was wrong 200 years ago, or really that's what they thought, but somehow it got misunderstood. The Supreme Court got it wrong in 1962. No doubt in my mind about that. I was blessed to go to a parochial or Christian school. Every day started with prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, and then a small Bible devotion before we began our first class. Every day of my life. All the way through the eighth grade. And had we not moved to a different town 300 miles away, I would have gone to a high school that did the same thing. But today we are reaping what we have been sowing for the past 60 years. One of the so-called prophets of the 1960s, Dr. Timothy Leary. He was an American psychologist, and he was an advocate of psychedelic drugs, and he had this idea, everybody needs to turn on, tune in, and then drop out. And that's going to make you happy. The Beatles. I can remember back in the late 1960s, this sudden divergence in their music following, I think, and those that are old enough like me to remember the album Rubber Soul, things changed dramatically after that album. They were looking for something greater than themselves. They were seeking Maharishis and drugs, Indian and Eastern religious culture, all while rejecting the culture that they had or could have had and refused to have. We've been reaping what we've been sowing. And each year we push away a little bit more, a little bit more. We dispose of a little bit more. Now, I'm going to say a few things. They may sound a little controversial. They're not really meant to be, per se, and I'm not trying to get anybody thoroughly angry or upset, but I'm just going to give you an honest assessment as I have observed looking back over my life. I understand fully that homosexuality has been around for thousands upon thousands of years. But it was never a mainstay of any society. And when it became a mainstay of any society, that society collapsed. Rome and Greece are great examples of two empires that self-destructed because of it. I acknowledge it has always been there. Even in the 1920s, the 1930s, in the 1800s, 1700s, it doesn't matter. It always was there, but it was not mainstreamed. And it was not massive, and it wasn't like 10, 20% of the population like the media tries to make you believe it is today. That's not true. Never was, isn't even true today. Yet this month of June is set aside as a month to celebrate all this strangeness. If you go back to the 1960s, back then the homosexual community just asked to be tolerated. Leave us alone and we will leave you alone. That's where it started. And a lot of sympathy was gained because of what happened in New York City, a raid on a hotel, a gay hotel. And then through the 1970s, it was just, you know, leave us alone and we'll leave you alone. Just tolerate us and we'll just all learn to get along. Then somewhere along the way, maybe beginning gradually in the late 80s into the 1990s, the idea was, well, you need to just accept us as we are and understand that we are this way because we're born this way, whatever. That's the claim anyway. And so we go through several decades or a decade or two of this idea. We move from just tolerating to accepting. And then it moves quickly from we demand equal status, and now it is worship us status. You must not only accept us, but you must accept us as superior to you. You need to give us an entire month for us to parade around and promote our sexuality, not just adult to adult, but even to children. This has happened in the past 60 years. transgenderism was virtually unheard of 25 years ago. I never heard of it 50 years ago. I mean, it was one of the most rarest of things. And in a case like that, in the one in a couple hundred thousand people that may have a birth defect, literally, where there is, shall we say, gender confusion physically and biologically, yeah, I'm aware of a handful of cases like that from the 1950s and into the 1960s. But today, it's no longer that. It's now a mental construct. And what used to be a psychological problem that was treated is now something we're supposed to go pretend along with. You know, there are a lot of things just like that today. We're demanded to believe in. And if we don't believe in them, they come after us. If you strive for normalcy, if you strive for tradition, if you believe in what the Bible says, you are now the enemy of the state. At least the state, according to this White House in Washington, D.C., or The Hague in Geneva, or the United Nations, or the World Health Organization. We are the enemy now, those that hold to traditional beliefs and freedom. I ran across this little video that somebody put out, and I'm not even sure of the gal's name, but she woke up one day and something just hit her. And in 3 minutes' time, I think she sums up what you and I and millions of other people around the world are thinking.
I never dreamed that I would have to face the prospect of not living in the United States of America, at least not the one I've known all my life. I've never wished to live anywhere else. This is my home, and I was privileged to be born here. But today I woke up, and as I had my morning coffee, I realized that everything is about to change. No matter how I vote, no matter what, I say something evil has invaded our nation, and our lives are never going to be the same. I've been confused by the hostility of family and friends. I look at people I've known all my life, so hate-filled that they agree with opinions they would never express as their own. I think I may have, well, entered the Twilight Zone. We've become a nation that has lost its collective mind. You can't justify this insanity. If a guy pretends to be a woman, you're required to pretend with him. Somehow, it's un-American for the census to count how many Americans are in America. Russians influencing our elections are bad, but illegals voting in our elections are good. It was cool for Joe Biden to blackmail the president of Ukraine, but it's an impeachable offense if Donald Trump inquires about it. 20 is too young to drink a beer, but 18 is old enough to vote. People who have never owned slaves should pay slavery reparations to people who have never been slaves. People who have never been to college should pay the debts of college students who took out huge loans for their degrees. Immigrants with tuberculosis and polio are welcome, but you'd better be able to prove your dog is vaccinated. Irish doctors and German engineers who want to immigrate to the U.S. must go through a rigorous vetting process, but any illiterate gangbangers who jump the southern fence are welcome. $5 billion for border security is too expensive, but $1.5 trillion for free health care is not. If you cheat to get into college, you go to prison, but if you cheat to get into the country, you go to college for free. People who say there is no such thing as gender are demanding a female president. We see other countries going socialist and collapsing, but it seems like a great plan to us. Some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, and other people are not held responsible for what they're doing right now. Criminals are caught and released to hurt more people, but stopping them is bad because it's a violation of their rights. And pointing out all this hypocrisy somehow makes us racist. Nothing makes sense anymore. No values, no morals, and no civility. People are dying of a Chinese virus, but it's racist to refer to it as Chinese even though it began in China. We're clearly living in an upside-down world where right is wrong and wrong is right, where moral is immoral and immoral is moral, where good is evil and evil is good, where killing murderers is wrong but killing unborn babies is A-okay. Wake up, America. The great unsinkable ship, Titanic America, has hit an iceberg, is taking on water, and is sinking fast. Speak up.
Now, I believe that many of you that listen to this program on a regular basis would agree with everything she just said. I agree fully. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. I look at where our governments, not just in the United States, man, Canada, all over the world. I believe the governments that we have in power for the most part today is a reflection of the moral and spiritual bankruptcy of the nations in which these reprobate governments are serving. The United States did not get the current administration in Washington because we're doing such a wonderful job as faithful Christians in the eyes of the Lord. We got this government because of God's judgment. How else can you explain all the evil and reprobate and demonic behavior that we see daily in the White House, in the Justice Department, in the revenue departments? I mean, in every department in the United States government, evil is taking over like a cancer. Even in the Congress and the Senate, in many state governments, governors, even all the way down to prosecutors, district attorneys, and judges. Evil-minded, simple-minded, and dangerously minded individuals that have sold their souls for something greater to the detriment of all of us. They are blinded by their own ambition. And they're the ones that are calling evil good and good evil. They're putting darkness for light and the light for darkness. They have traded in all that is good for all that is evil. And they have been given over to a reprobate mind to do all these things that are unseemly, that are ungodly, that are just pure evil. I believe that the government the United States has right now, the way things stand today, is a curse from God on the American people. I believe, Joe, look, this is not a political statement. Forget politics. Joe Biden is an evil and despicable individual. He proves it with the things that he does and he says each and every day. He claims to be a good Catholic and a good believer and a faithful guy with a rosary in my pocket. But he does everything his own church abhors and says is evil. He is supporting neo-paganism in this country, whether it be abortion, whether it be transgenderism, whether it be homosexuality, whether it be radical environmentalism. And I have a story that I'm going to share on the other side of this break that ought to make you think for just a moment about all of this when it comes to the environment. I think it's going to be an eye-opener. And it's one of those kind of stories that the mainstream media kind of knows it's there, but they're not going to share because it kills, well, it destroys their narrative. If you believe in what we're trying to do here at Truth to Ponder, I need to hear from you. Shortwave radio has been our mainstay since the very beginning, almost 4 years ago. And we have been on WRMI faithfully, and my goal is to remain there. It has been the primary station. We added WTWW, which added to the bill. And right now, I am just trying to figure where to put the investment of what we have. Look, I understand times are tight, and people don't have as much to give to ministries. I really understand that. I live in the same world you do, on a fixed income. I'm retired. I'm not paid to be the pastor of my church. I am not paid to do this radio program. This is not my job. I give of my time, and there's no staff. I produce the program. I edit the program. I distribute the program, and I make sure the radio stations have the program in a timely manner. It's a one-man operation. And I come to you wanting to stay on shortwave. Why? There's a million podcasts out there. How do you get above the noise? when there's a million people doing something. I don't do video. I'm a radio guy. Number one, I wouldn't have time for what it takes to do the video editing and distribution. And once again, how many thousand? I would need a staff, and that we don't have. But I believe that we are reaching thousands of people each month. And now I'm going to just ask for support. We've cut back a little bit on WTWW. We're trying to stay there. And I base it upon the support and where people are listening. And so, you know, I allocate it that way. I've had some people say, hey, you need more time on WTWW, but the support from those listening to WTWW is not there. But it is for the other radio station. I'm just telling you, that's just a fact. So, if you want us to continue to expand, to reach more people, especially in this critical time of an election year, of injustice, of lies and silliness, do we have a chance to at least maybe get a little break from all the noise? An opportunity to share and witness the gospel. We've been living in a very intense time where things cost more, where the war on people of faith is really increasing, something I never thought I would see in my nation, the United States, but I'm seeing it. Pro-lifers being arrested like common criminals, yet the common criminals are let go. You know, I know I'm running over, but real quick. Alvin Bragg in New York City takes 65% of every case that comes to him that's a felony and downgrades it to a misdemeanor and even at felonies to minimum sentences on a plea deal. But he played politics in a court of law and made a complete idiot of himself and a mockery of justice. Yet the left is just happy to have the moniker convicted felon. It's all a lie. It's all a sham. And I'm afraid they're going to win. Because good people are going to let them win. I've said it before. The government we have now is the government we deserve as a nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. Sorry to have to agree with Barack Obama, but we're proving it every day. I'm sick and tired of cultural Christians. Listen, I'll get to this in a minute. I'm going to get over on the break real quick. If you believe in our ministry, would you consider going to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. I'll give that address again right after this break.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Be ye first fruitful. Coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, we know we're called to be fruitful in the Bible, but there's more to it. You see, you are called also to be first fruitful. Now, what on earth is that? In Hebrew, there's a word bikorim, means the first fruit. And there was a day of the first fruit, the day of the bikorim, when it would, the first fruit would be lifted up from the earth. Do you know that's the day that Messiah rose? He rose on the day of the first fruit because the resurrection is new. It's the first fruit. It's never been done before. It leads everything. No one had ever done it before. There's no cause for it. It just happened. From death to life, that is the absolute first fruit. Well, Messiah gives you the power not just to be fruitful, but to be first fruitful. And what does that mean? That means you can bear fruit when you've never borne fruit before. It means when nobody loves you, you can still bear the fruit of love for them. It means when nobody's reaching out to you, you be first fruitful and you reach out to them. When everybody's negative, you be first fruitful and you bear joy. When you're in a situation where there's no reason to rejoice, you be first fruitful and rejoice anyway. When you've got no earthly reason to have peace, you be first fruitful and have peace anyway and praise anyway. See, our new life begins in the tomb when there was no reason for Messiah to come alive. So you have the same power to bear fruit when there's no reason. And that is, you've heard it to be fruitful, but now I give you a new commandment. Don't just be fruitful. Learn the secret of becoming first fruitful. Bear that fruit anyway. Want more? Ask for First Fruits or The Power of the First Fruit on CD. Now, the free gift for you, The Mystery of the Temple Door is on CD. You're going to love it. And Sapphires to give you the power of living a victorious life in God and your Jewish roots in Jesus. Special teachings, updates on world events and prophecy and Israel. How do you get these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real name, Yeshua, and you dial it. So for your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800, toll free, 1-800-YESHUA, Y-E-S-H-U-A, and the number 1. Now I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and also to the unreached peoples on five continents, the most amazing way to ever spread the gospel on shortwave radio. It's amazing. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Y-E-S-H-U-A-1. Or write me direct. Just write to the nice Jewish boy at Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, be first fruitful, my friend, in Messiah HaBikorim, the first fruit.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to the second half of Truth to Ponder for this Tuesday, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. As we went into the break, I said I would share the mailing address and information about this radio program. I want to thank all of you that listen each and every day, whether as a podcast, whether as a radio program. And the fact you let me know means the world to me. So the mailing address, if you'd like to support us, and here's why. You know, a lot of people say, well, why don't you just be a podcast, Bob? That's cheaper than being on radio. Well, that's true. But there's like a million podcasts out there. Literally, a million. Everybody's got a podcast for something. And how do you get above the noise? How do you get traction in an audience as a podcast in today's world unless you have some big company behind you? I don't have any of that. I elected from day one to be on shortwave because shortwave provides an outlet that is very unique. People that are looking for alternative programming will look at shortwave. And many that find this program on shortwave will begin to listen as a podcast because now they have found it and hear that you can hear it as a podcast. I've had hundreds of people let me know that. And so I'm thankful for all those that listen to the radio program and as a podcast. I'm retired and I don't get an income for doing Truth to Ponder. I don't get an income from pastoring a small church. I just believe this is something God would have me to do. So, I come to you to help pay for the shortwave air bill each month. And so, once again, you can go to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, the city is in Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. Now, if you were listening to yesterday's program, you heard me mention that my wife and I had to be out of town for several days, and I'll be honest, I had to put this yesterday's program together Thursday morning because my wife and I drove to Georgia from Virginia on Thursday. And we went because one of my dear friends who lives in South Carolina had lost his son tragically, and I was asked to be one of those that conducted the funeral. And so my wife and I traveled. It gave me, and we left a day early, which because we were so close. I have family right there in the Georgia-South Carolina line and also very close to where the funeral was held. family I don't often get a chance to see. So I took advantage of the fact we were going to be traveling anyway, added a day so I could see and meet with my family. And then on Saturday, we conducted the funeral. And then afterwards, my wife and I, we drove back home to Virginia so I could be at my church on Sunday morning. So it was a very long and busy weekend. And I thank all of you for your prayers. Now, I want to get back to some of the things that I was talking about, and I'm looking at this one story. I may save this story for a little bit later, and it may, because it may take a little time for me to get into this. It's something that is called the Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation. What a big, fancy, long title that is. Let me say that again. The Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, or AMOC, or AMOC. And what it is a system. I'm not going to get into it deeply today, but I want to share just a quick thought about it. It is a system of ocean currents that circulate the water within the Atlantic Ocean, bringing warm water north and cold water south. And all I'm going to say right now is that this natural phenomena has a tremendous impact on, quote, climate. And we're seeing this kind of a collapse occurring. It's been occurring for a long time, and mankind had nothing to do with it. So just something to be aware of in the, what I call the climate change narrative that is out there. There's so many narratives that they try to push on us each and every day. I really believe for more of anything, control. Control. Even going back to Earth Day 1970, the idea of, you know, man-made global cooling, we're bringing in an ice age. Mankind, we were bringing in an ice age. We were told that in no uncertain terms. And yet, that narrative collapsed, and it had to become global warming. And now, because they can't, somebody wrote something the other day, and I'm just going to share this. And then we're going to move on to a couple of other topics. I think I'll save some of the climate stories I have for later. They're fascinating, and I think they're helpful. If you use a starting point of like 1850 to look at global temperatures, one might believe, with all the ups and downs and ups and downs, that the overall trend is getting warmer. And not by much, but it is getting warmer, you know, about a half a degree Celsius. But if you use as your reference point somewhere farther back in the past, instead of 150 years ago or 170 years ago, go back 1,000 years ago. The trend actually shows the temperatures going down, not up. Over 1,000 years, if you look at the kind of baseline, it's not going up. It really is going down in spite of the natural up and down changes year by year, decade by decade. The overall trend over 1,000 years is going down, not up. If you narrow it down to a smaller time, it may appear to be going up, but it really isn't. This entire idea of man-made climate on a global scale, to me, is politics. It's not earth science. It is political science. I believe the earth, its climate, its weather is changing. It always has and it always will. The recent solar flares showed us some strange weather and the aurora and all kinds of things that occurred. And that was the sun. Did something you do affect what the sun does? That big orange thing in the sky has more of an influence on temperature and climate than anything else. And yet you have people that think that they are gods and they can control it, and they can control you to control it. And we'll talk about that later this week. It's something that is important that does need to be discussed. Now, on this program today, I've been talking about we're reaping what we've been sowing for 60, maybe 70 or 100 years or more. And every year or every decade, it seems that we just increase the rate of our own moral decline. And honestly, I don't think the United States was ever the great moral Christian nation that some people make it out to be. A nation founded on Christian principles, yeah, but a nation, many of the founding fathers simply deist, not really Christians. But at least the United States was not in open opposition to God. It wasn't in open warfare. And it welcomed people of faith to this nation and granted religious freedom and liberty. Today, not so much. Today, our government is increasingly at war with people of faith. And I don't see that trend changing anytime soon. Maybe slowing down for a season. And I pray, and this is why I tell people, you know, I don't put my hope and trust in politicians. I do vote, and I think you should too. I'll say it again. I had somebody that indicated they thought about giving up on voting, and I've never said that, and I would never say that. I will advise simply this. Vote for the candidate that poses the least threat to your faith, your family, and your finances, period. That is the best you can do. That's all you can do. And I said this to my church the other day, and I've said it on this program a dozen or maybe 100 times by now. When you're voting for somebody, whether it be for dog catcher, county commission, governor, president, doesn't matter, congressman, senator, you're not voting for the head pastor of your church. And you're generally given a very narrow selection to choose from when it's all said and done on election day. So do the research and figure out which person on the school board. Yeah, you need to learn about your school board. So many of you don't. Oh, yeah, I guess the incumbent's okay, and you just vote blindly or not at all. And that's how you get boys raping girls in high school bathrooms, because they get to pretend they're transgender and the school boards allow it and try to cover it up. You need to be aware who's the greatest threat to your faith, your family, and your finances, and vote accordingly. But you must register and you must vote. And the best we can hope for, which is still a lot, the best we can hope for is we might get a temporary reprieve. I'm serious, a temporary reprieve. And we may have time to share the good news and the gospel message. So Christians, if we get any kind of a reprieve here in the United States from having a Justice Department, you know, chasing you down and persecuting you, you better use that time wisely that God gives you and not be found not working. And sadly, too many Christians are just spectators. They're not doers. Don't be just hearers of God's word. Be doers of God's word. It's time that Christians understand there is a huge difference. When I was thinking about today's program and I was sharing a lot of what I said in the beginning, what has occurred in the past 60 years, you know, this rapid increase, decade by decade, people started to recognize the negative trajectory we were already on by the late 1960s. I mean, I really think the 1960s, you know, they're a very pivotal time, a time of radical change, a time where every established norm was being challenged, and sometimes in a very negative way. The sexual revolution began in the 1960s. Drug use, it's always been around, but it exploded in the 1960s, the counterculture. There's a song, and it came to mind the other day. It probably was 1968, maybe 1969, I can't remember, when I first heard it. The song sounds very dated. Now, many of you would remember songs like Eve of Destruction and If You're Going to San Francisco. You know, these ballads of the 60s that pretty well give you an idea of the direction the culture was wanting to go. This song I'm going to play here in a moment demonstrates that many were beginning to see the negative side of the cultural shift. The song was sung by Ed Ames. Now, you may remember him. He was in a group way back in the 1940s before my time and into the 1950s, the Ames Brothers. They had a number of hits. And when the Ames Brothers group disbanded, Ed Ames pursued a career in acting. You may remember him as Mingo in the 1960s NBC television series Daniel Boone. And he recorded a few songs along the way. This one, even though it does sound dated, listen carefully to the words. All the ills that are exploding today were being birthed during the 1960s. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
From the canyons of the mind, we wander on and stumble blindly through the often tangled maze of starless nights and sunless days, while asking for some kind of clue or road to lead us to the truth. But who will answer? Side by side, two people stand together, vowing hand in hand that love's embedded in their hearts. But soon an empty feeling starts to overwhelm their hollow lives. And when they seek the hows and whys, who will answer? On a strange and distant hill, a young man's lying very still. His arms will never hold his child, because a bullet running wild has struck him down. And now we cry, dear God, oh why, but who will answer? High upon a lonely ledge, a figure teeters near the edge, and jeering crowds collect below to egg him on with go, man, go. But who will ask what led him to his private day of doom, and who will answer? If the soul is dark, if the mind is baffled, when the rules don't fit the game, who will answer? Who will answer? Who will answer? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the rooms with darkened shades, the scent of sandalwood pervades. The colored thoughts in muddled heads, reclining on the rumpled beds of unmade dreams that can't come true. When we ask what we should do, who will answer?
Neath the spreading mushroom tree, the world revolves in apathy, as overhead a row of specks roars on, drowned out by discotheques. And if a secret button's pressed because one man has been outguessed, who will answer? Is our hope in walnut shells worn round the neck with temple bells, or deep within some cloistered walls where hooded figures pray in halls, or from old books on dusty shelves, or in our stars or in ourselves, who will answer? If the soul is darkened,
so even by 1968, people writing music, people in the culture were seeing some of the trends that were developing that were not good. In this particular song, the question is raised, who will answer? You hear all of the difficulties, all of the troubles, all of the problems. Who will answer? It's just a question. Who will answer? Now, Ed Ames came out of a secular Jewish background. And while he said he had an affinity toward people of faith, obviously he lived a very secular life. So in his song, he doesn't have the answer. I got news for you. If you truly are a follower of Christ, you do have the answer. You've always had the answer. But are you willing to take time to share that answer? This has been the problem, I believe, with a lot of the church today. They don't want to engage in the culture. They've been so beaten back, like, oh, I can't say a word. You know, 501c3 stuff, this, that, and the other. And if I talk about abortion, you never know. The FBI may be at my door. Did Jesus say, hide your light under a bushel basket? No. He said not to hide your light under a bushel basket. And too many people of faith, they get their, quote, religion, they get baptized, whatever the case may be, and they, some even show up to church on a regular basis, but would you ever know that they are Christians by their speech and their actions outside of church? Are they being what the Bible demands us to be, salt and light? Don't hide that light. Darkness and evil hate light. The Bible shows many times that evil loves to work in darkness, unseen, behind the curtain, so to speak. And then salt from tradition is just a preservative. I mean, how do you preserve meats before refrigeration? I mean, we've only had refrigerators, for 100 and a little over 100 years? Maybe we had ice and ice boxes, but prior to that, meat was preserved for long periods of time using salt. Even the ancients understood that thousands of years ago. And when the salt no longer is able to preserve and it's lost its savor, as the Bible says, it's worthless. Are you being salt and light in this world? Are you doing what God has called you to do with your church? Or are you just hiding on Sunday, getting together and enjoying the music? For many people, Christianity today has become a spectator sport. It's not even a lifestyle. It's a spectator sport. We come on Sunday to get entertained and a pep talk, a little side of Jesus, and somehow that sanctifies us and makes everything good. Too many Christians are not really living the Christian life. They're not willing to be persecuted. They're not willing to give up anything. Early Christians gave up everything for the cause of Christ, including their lives, their livelihood, everything. I would say if some government agents came to a church on a Sunday, now that they haven't been closed because of a pandemic, and came in and said, if you are a Christian, you're going to die right now. If you renounce Christ, you can leave today and live. How many would get up and walk out? And how many would stay? Do you believe in the mission and ministry of Truth to Ponder? We really could use your help. I would like to stay on shortwave radio. Number, you can go to our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order. By the way, we use Give, Send, Go. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.